just heard, they were discussing, of course, Mr. Kelly, the scientist who, in Great Britain, who had pointed out that it was his belief that they had doctored the evidence to justify Great Britain going into Iraq along with the United States. And they said an apparent suicide. If you read the articles, it's always an apparent suicide. Why? Well, because Kelly had prophesied that, you know, if the truth ever came out, why, he'd be found dead in the woods. And this, do you remember Vince Foster? You remember the controversy surrounding the crash of the plane that Ron Brown was on? You remember the list of 50 strange deaths associated with the Clinton administration that Monica Lewinsky had given to Linda Tripp, or her remarks to Linda Tripp over the telephone that she was concerned over her own life because the scandal was coming out about her relationship with Bill Clinton. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very uncertain and very evil world, and nobody wants to admit that. And today we have with us a special guest. Of course, it all falls into what I believe is a spiritual battle being fought out on a political and cultural, and in this case, a medical battlefield. And Christy Diamond has been, for the better part of 20 years, of researching and discussing and trying to let people know about the danger of mercury fillings. Now, she's put together the most wonderful video to carry it because it's very, very professionally done. And of course, you will actually see pictures of a 50-year-old tooth with a mercury filling that was removed 15 years ago. And you can see it now still venting the mercury vapors. And once you put the mercury fillings in, they continue venting mercury vapors. It's usually well over 50% mercury. We're concerned about mercury in tuna fish. We're concerned about mercury in sharks. And my goodness, we pregnant women should not be certainly eating either tuna fish or swordfish or to eat the unborn child. And yet, of course, we put mercury fillings in those mothers' mouths, and of course, the mercury vents into their system, and then, of course, goes across the placenta into the minds, into the brains of their children. And then, of course, in the nursery, before they're ever allowed in the hospital until very, very recently, we were giving them massive doses of thimerosal, a mercury disinfectant that was put into our vaccines. And when it was pointed out what was happening, we were assured there was absolutely nothing to worry about. All the scientific studies showed, well, they did have one scientific study financed by Eli Lilly that showed that it wasn't harmful. There were 1,500 studies that showed it was harmful. And then, of course, the government very magnanimously finally decided to take the thimerosal out. But, of course, if it wasn't harmful, why did they take it out? They insist on leaving it in, and they still have left it in, the influenza vaccine for the elderly. But don't you worry, the government now has come up with the mandate that all children, all infants, be given that same influenza vaccine that has the thimerosal in it, because, of course, they're from the government, and they're there to help us. Christy, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your crusade trying to awaken people to the danger of mercury fillings.
And I went to traditional methods with medical people, and I was spending money right and left, and I wasn't getting well. And I always thought that when you go to a doctor and you know, that they're supposed to help you get well. And I had many of them say, well, I don't know what's the matter with you, but by the way, that'll be $150 for the office call. And I didn't have money to spend and not get well, so I just started researching myself. And I found out that it took a while. I really had to go to a lot of work to find this out. But I was being poisoned by the mercury in my mercury dental amalgams in my teeth.
But of course, the dentists have been putting those mercury amalgams in for 100 years, and they insist that there's nothing to worry about. I mean, would dentists put in something into our mouths that was potentially lethal and certainly harmful to us?
No, I don't think they would. I don't think any rational, caring human being would do that. But their trade association is telling them that it's safe. And who has the time to go check and see if their trade organization is telling them the truth? I mean, you want to believe that, for the most part, is good, and that they wouldn't deliberately lie to you about something like this. But the fact is that they have. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies that show that this is dangerous. In fact, it's just chemically absurd to even represent that mercury implanted into a human being in any way is safe. I even try to argue that.
Well, that's the most wonderful picture that you have, the video. The picture you begin the video with is worth the entire cost of the video. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about C on this video and how you got that?
Well, we have a group up here in the Northwest that has been working hard to try to get this information out to the public, and one of them is a retired dentist, Roger Eichmann, and he carries this tooth around with him. And I asked him if he would do this demonstration in front of a video camera. And he said, sure. And so I traveled over to his place, and we put on the proper gear, and we took pictures of it. And we started it at room temperature and warmed it up to about 105 degrees. And when you see that vapor come off, it looks just like smoke coming off the end of a cigarette. And basically we did it with a shortwave ultraviolet light with a phosphorescent screen behind it, and it was picked up very readily with our video camera. And you know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and I'll tell you, that video has been worth 1,000,000 words. It's just, we put that at the very beginning of the film, because if you see that in the beginning, it will really, it's just an education that you have this information, then you watch the debate, you watch the history, and then we also have numerous studies, some of them very famous studies. We cover the mercury poisoning in Minamata that took place in the 50s. And, you know, these people have passed mercury from mother to child for 3 generations now.
Well, I should explain to what happened. Well, we'll have to talk about Minamata when we get back here.
Sure.
Here at the American Freedom Network.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or its advertisers.
Botanel progesterone cream, uniquely designed for the woman looking for an exquisite moisturizer as well as the recommended level of progesterone. Botanel progesterone cream is considered by many to be the finest progesterone cream available. Women around the world are making Botanel progesterone cream their first choice in addressing PMS, menopausal, and other hormone-related issues. To purchase your Botanel progesterone cream, call 1-800-205-6245. Again, 1-800-205-6245.
NutriCompute, the nutritional evaluation and supplement system developed by Dr. Joseph Montante, is now available through the Johnstown Clinic for your convenience. I'm Deborah Spence, the nurse and nutritionist who will assist you in creating an optimal health plan using this remarkable tool. Please call 1-800-348-8890 to set up an appointment today. That's 1-800-348-8890. Our highly concentrated plant extracts that can deliver oxygen and nutrients to the cells of the body. They contain many natural chemical components that are beneficial to us. Thieves is a unique blend of essential oils shown to kill several varieties of pathogens upon contact. To experience the many benefits of Thieves essential oil, call 1-800-205-6245 and order today. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Hi, y'all. This is Boaz. Have you ever wondered what kind of impact a radio advertisement could have on your business? Now you can find out with us at the American Freedom Network, 1360 AM, and the best possible rates available in the industry. That's right. With our new 10,000 watts of power, folks, call us here at the station and let us know if you're interested. Call 205-6245.
Well, I'll stand by here. Our guest this morning is Cindy Diamond. We're talking about Minamata, and this is a fishing village in Japan. And of course, there was a company there that was dumping mercury into the river, and it was flowing into the bay. and where all the fish were, and of course the fish were getting filled with mercury. The people were eating the fish. So what happened there, Cindy?
Well, what happened is they first noticed that the cats were having symptoms, and one of the things that really stood out to me was that the cats would inexplicably attack the people's faces. They'd have to put blankets over their faces, and they were afraid that they were going to catch this disease because they thought it was contagious. And they actually studied it for 6 or 7 years before they figured out that it was mercury. And what would happen is it was bioaccumulative. So one day someone would be just absolutely fine, and the next day they would just go over the top, and they would have convulsions and shaking. They had to be cared for, and you know they would eventually die. And what happened over the past 30 or 40 years is that mothers who were poisoned who had no symptoms would have children, and then the children would be born with the it looks like cerebral palsy, MS, these sorts of diseases, and they would be passed from generation to generation. And our current traditional science says, well, this is genetic and we're passing it from generation to generation. But the research that I've read shows that actually what they're passing is the heavy from mother to child, mother to child, and this company still hasn't compensated all the victims between poisons to each other, because the mother's body uses that the fetus or uses a pregnancy of the uterus to get rid of toxins. And so when she's pregnant, the body just takes everything that normally would go into her behinds and dumps it right into the baby. And it passes the breast milk as well. It's just egregious how bad this is.
Well, I think, we've all heard the expression, he was as mad as a hatter. Now, why did hatters go mad? Why, very simply, because they used mercury to make the hats. And mercury is a terrible, terrible toxin as far as the brain is concerned. Now, we know that there's been a dramatic, dramatic increase in the incidence of autism, especially here in California. It used to be 1 in 10,000 children. Today, it's about 1 in every 250. And in some areas, the figure is 150 children. And, of course, there's autism you get at birth, and then there's so much autism that comes on increasingly later after the children have had their mercury shots. And, of course, the government is doing everything they can to say, oh, it isn't the mercury. And yet all of the statistics show it is. Well, Dr. Halley, who Christy works with, has done a wonderful job recently of analyzing hair on newborn children. Now, most mothers have, of course, a mouthful of mercury fillings. And, in normal children, of course, if he checks the hair on the heads, and they can analyze the mercury in the hair of newborn children, why these children, have normal levels of mercury in the hair. But in the autistic children born to these mothers, why there is no mercury in the hair. In other words, the child is unable to excrete the mercury in their system, and of course is storing it, among other places, in their brains. And this is very, and of course it shows, there's certain children who can handle low doses of mercury and others who can't, and when they can't excrete it. Why, information, there's so much scientific there, and you can go to Dr. Halley's website, you can go to Christie's website, you can get the information, you can look at Christie's website, you can actually see this smoking tooth, or hopefully, of course, you'll want to get her video, which is called Uninformed Consent. That's Uninformed Consent. You get that by calling 1-800-5-HIV-1. That's 1-800-5-448-927. Christy, what about your website? How can people get there?
The website is pretty easy to remember. It's www.uninformedconsent.com.
And of course, the thing is that when the dentist gets the amalgam from the manufacturer, there is a warning there about the dangers of mercury. What's on that warning that the dentist gets, when he gets the amalgam?
Well, data sheet, an MSDS sheet, which comes with all of your pharmaceuticals. It's required. It says the thing that really jumps out at me is renal failure and death, which of course is kidney failure. And they don't bother to, dentists are not taught to check their patients' health histories to find out if any of them are on kidney dialysis. Of course it affects the kidneys. And one of the reasons that you know, Dr. Haley didn't find any mercury in the birth hair. These children's, by the way, are because when the body finally fails, it's unable to excrete the mercury. There is a hypothesis out there that they're not forming a 61-chain amino acid called methylmethionine, which has a tendency to mop up heavy metals in the intestinal tract. And this phenomena also happens in all metal levels. If their tests come back and they know that they have amalgam fillings or that they've been vaccinated, and their tests come back that they don't have any excrement, what this really means is that their body's assessing that. They had an exposure, it's there. If it's not in their tests, it means that their body has failed already. And there's no way to actually measure the amount of mercury in a human body. You'd have to be a cadaver to do that.
Well, one of the interesting things, the most interesting things in your film, was they took a sheep and they of course filled the teeth with mercury, as you would with a human being, put mercury into their teeth. But it was a radioactive mercury, so they could track where it went. And they found, you know, it's in the liver, intestinal tract, in the kidneys, getting out of the tooth in the sheep. You know, and the average individual thinks that what they put into their mouth is in their, and the dentist thinks that too, because he has been told, you know, for the last 100 years, this is true. In the 1800s, people knew how dangerous mercury was, but of course this information has been effectively suppressed. And recently they began to outlaw thermometers and saying, you know, you can't have mercury thermometers. And why can't you have mercury thermometers? Well, because if you drop one in your living room and you were to vacuum up the mercury, you contaminate the whole house with toxic mercury fumes. And this is neurotoxic, and of course, in many cases, irreversible.
That's right. And you know that sheep study, the American Dental Association didn't like that sheep study because they said that sheep chew their cud. And so what the University of Calgary did is they did another study on monkeys, which, of course, showed the same thing. And we also have another study in there, which is out of the University of Calgary as well, where they videotaped brain neurons, used snail brain neurons, because, of course, if you took them from a human being, they would have to be dead, which means that you would have dead neurons. And it turns out that brain neurons are molecularly and protein-wise exactly the same from one. When they introduce the mercury to the petri dish, it shows the brain neuron disintegrating just right in front of your very eyes. And this is also a very profound videotape. Now, the way the American Dental Association responded to that is, first of all, they said, oh, well, it's snail brain neurons. You can't do that. Right in their testimony in Congress, I was there. And Boyd Haley is the one who found this. They said, oh, the amount of mercury that they introduced to the petri dish was way beyond what you would find in a mercury amalgam. Well, that's not true. The amount of mercury that they used in that petri dish was 1/1,000,000th the amount of mercury that you would find in one amalgam filling. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny, itsy-bitsy amount of mercury. And these are the lengths that these people are going to suppress this information from the public. And as a citizen, I'm just stunned. I am just stunned. And I didn't come from, you know, I came from a fairly conservative background, a nice Republican family, if you will. I'm bipartisan. But I was stunned at the lengths that they would go through. And they didn't really do a very good job of trying to cover their tracks because they figured no one's going to check.
Well, it's so interesting now that they have actually come up with a study, and they've actually found 700 children that have never had mercury fillings. So they're putting mercury fillings into these 700 children, because they have cavities. They need the dental work done, and of course then they're following their mercury excretion. Well, now where did they find the 700 children? Well, they went overseas to Portugal to find them, because if they were doing an experiment like this here in the auspices, apparently, of the American Dental Association, they're now running this test in Portugal on the children. And what have they found so far, Christy?
Well, we actually covered that in our video as well. There was 507 children, by the way, and they were...
500, okay.
Yeah, what they did was they're in the third year of a seven-year study, and the mercury excretement, they actually showed this at one of our Board of Health meetings, and we videoed it, and their mercury excretion has is 125% more. It's twice as much, is over twice as much as what it was in the beginning of the study. And they still feel, well, that's within normal ranges of what mercury is. Well, what's normal for mercury, you know? And so they don't feel that it's worth stopping the test. Now, I've been told that there's a parallel test going on in the United States somewhere, but they don't tell any of us where that is or how to get the information on it. And I'm sure that these parents or these children are not getting some of the investigators on the study here through the University of Washington in Seattle and Battelle. And it's funded by the National Institute of Health, not National Institutes of Health. And under that umbrella, they have about 20 institutions and several foundations. And one of them is the National Institute for Dental and Facial Cranial Research, which is pretty much run by the American Dental Association. I called for comment at the FDA, and after going through three or four different levels of people, I ended up with someone who was a director of the National Institute of Dental and Facial Cranial Research, which is literally funded by the National Institute of Health. Now, recently, an attorney, Boyd Haley, started looking around at studies that have been done on mercury amalgam, and there have been over 500 studies. Now, she testified to this in May in U.S. Congress, and only one of them, only one, has been published that they could find out of 500 studies in the past decade or so. Million-dollar question. We'd all like to know that. We're trying to find out. There was also another study that was done called, it was presented by a Dr. Verstaten, and it was called the Simpsonwood meeting, which was held in 1999. I have the transcript of that meeting, and there were about 50 scientists, researchers, and doctors who attended that. And there was a study that it was presented off the superbills from Kaiser, California, and Group Health, and they'd studied the superbills of 11,000 children to see if there was any relationship between vaccinations, speech delays, autism, and ticks in children.
What did they find?
Well, they found definitive and causal evidence. That means that they did. And he did a very nice job of presenting this to these people over a weekend. And it took him about an hour and a half or so. And the entire rest of the meeting was spent to derail this study of the meeting, that they were going to suppress this information. And
well,
they got
suppress the information because they can't let the American people know what they've been doing, because then we would begin to question all the other things that are going on, and people begin to realize that they are not being told the truth. You know, I think that one of the most frightening things about this whole thing is the marked increase in Alzheimer's disease. And of course, certainly the most famous patient is ex-President Reagan. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Diamond, her video is uninformed consent. You'll want to see it. It's very, very well done. We were talking about Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is on the rise. Professor Haley, who is the chairman of the Department of Chemistry at University of Kentucky, and we, of course, have interviewed him on this program previously, and we'll be putting together a four-tape set with Christy and several other speakers and Professor Haley, so that you'll have the information at your fingertips and you can get to your dentist. But Professor Haley found there was a marked increase in Alzheimer's disease. They found specific histological changes. In other words, looking under a microscope, you could see the changes in Alzheimer's disease that you did not see in others. This was produced by mercury, but they couldn't figure out where the mercury was coming from. In other words, aluminum and the lead and the other, to get the word out that he suddenly realized, of course, the fact that you're fillings in your mouth are constantly venting mercury. Now, some people can handle this better than others, but it's an accumulative effect. And of course, Alzheimer's disease is not something you see in children. You don't see it until, you get much older. Constant infusions of mercury, and of course, it can be aggravated by taking mercury in from other sources. And there may even be somewhat of a genetic component as to how you handle your mercury, and whether you can excrete it or not. But the frightening thing is the increase in Alzheimer's disease, the increase in autism, and of course, the people on the other side say, well, we don't know why that is, but we can assure you it has nothing to do with mercury fillings. So you pick it, or of course, the other one is has nothing to do with vaccine out anyway, except for older people where we're going to leave it in the influenza vaccine. And I would simply ask, why are you leaving it in the influenza vaccine? And why are you insisting it be given now to our young children? Pick it up from there, Christy.
Well, you know, we were talking about the Simpson Wood meeting where they found causal evidence and presented a study of the relationship between vaccines and autism. And, you know, I kind of look at Alzheimer's like an adult autistic state. And speech delays are just a milder version of autism or tics or learning disabilities or ADD. They're all mirror just a lesser presentation, if you will, of you know the part before death. And at Simpson Wood meeting, they decided at the end of the testimony. But I was in December. He had a hearing at the Committee for Government Reform on this vaccine issue. He's been doing this for about 3 years, and I learned from that hearing that the doctors and scientists who were present there, who actually were from the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, and the ADA. There weren't just mainstream people there, and it sort of explained, well, there's sort of this agenda going on, and it was just we've got about 150 children who are becoming autistic a day in this nation. That's like an airliner of children coming down every day. And if you look at it in that context, you know, the public outcry, if they were really aware of how epidemic this is, it's enough to bring one to almost sobbing. It's so horrible, and it's going on right around us.
Do you know any way I could get in touch with that fellow who presented the paper that was suppressed?
Oh yes, that's George Mead, and I actually have a copy of it.
You have a copy of his paper.
It's actually the testimony from the meeting. It's about it.
And he actually told how his paper was suppressed?
You can just read the testimony and you can see the truth. There were actually some scientists in the crowd who said, well, I'm not going to let my grandchildren have any of these vaccines till we know for sure. But at the end of the meeting, they decided, well, we're going to keep this quiet until we can do more studies. And
well, you know, this is, of course, what they've done. They lied to the American people about the cancer virus and the polio vaccine, because the American people aren't smart enough to accept this, and then they conceal the fact that the old monkey cytomegalic viruses, I mean, that was the Sabin vaccine that they gave. Because, of course, if we let the American people know that when scientists cease to be scientists and become politicians, they are not worthy of our trust. And there are some good scientists out there, but the tragedy is the vast majority of them do not have a moral conscience. Universities, they've read Hegel and Marx and Nietzsche, and their sense of right and wrong is just to no longer exist. This is the great tragedy, and what happens when a nation turns against God.
Well, I think, you know, don't you think that some of them are just so frightened that they don't know what to do?
Well, I think a lot of them have this superior attitude. We're so much smarter than the common people, and we know what is best for them.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, this is and it is this attitude of, it was like they called a special group of scientists into the CDC to consider the Tuskegee study and whether it was immoral to kill the black men to withhold treatment so they could autopsy them. And 10 of the 11 professors from major universities in America, 10 of the 11, said, well, as long as it's done in the name of science, why, there's nothing wrong with it. And one says, you're killing those men.
Oh.
But he was overvoted, of course.
Yeah, I got it.
And it wasn't until eventually, and any of our listeners out there have never heard our 14th set on the Tuskegee study, we have the man who broke the story, And it's really an amazing story. When the information got into the major media, why, of course, then they had to backtrack and throw one or two people to the wolves and do away with fire the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. But none of the scientists who were responsible for the murder of the black men were ever punished because it was done in the name of science. Well, I see very little difference between what happened in the Nazi concentration camps and what is going on in America. But, of course, well, we need more information before we can tell people. If there's any question it's dangerous, why are they doing it? Organized effort to keep this information under wraps and to keep the people from knowing, and specifically to keep the dentists from knowing, because the dentists, of course, are getting a tremendous dose of mercury. And I know my dentist I had here in Santa Cruz for some time just one day went out and committed suicide. Why? Well, I can't say specifically, but the dentists are getting terrible doses of mercury, much higher than you and I are, because they're working with us all the time. And of course, the dentists who are taking the mercury out, and there are dentists now who are removing the fillings, they, of course, are getting into tremendous exposure. Why don't you talk a little in many of the states to try to handle the mercury that's taken out of the fillings, you know, as a toxic waste?
Oh, there.
We'll do that as soon as we get back here.
Dates of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Christy Diamond, her video, Uninformed Consent. And why don't you go ahead and pick that story up, Cindy? Christy?
Well, we've got some secondary and third level problems that are going on with the dental community because, well, first of all, the dentists, they're sort of the main point of information for the public, and so as long as they're misinformed, the public will be misinformed because that's the first place the public... And they, meanwhile, they've got mercury coming into their offices to be used as mercury fillings in hazardous waste boxes, and they're supposed to leave in hazardous waste boxes, but much of it goes down. And in the Seattle area, they have taken the biosolids and over the past 20 years or so, and they've reconditioned this stuff, and they call it sludge, and they've been using it as fertilizer, and they've been giving it to our farmers in eastern Washington. And through attending some of the meetings at the Washington State Department of Ecology on their mercury strategic plan, I have found that there are numerous utilities who are doing this sort of reconditioning of their sludge. They never thought in a million years that there could possibly be enough mercury or heavy metal contamination in this biosolids that it would be a problem, so they never addressed it. And it turns out there's an egregious amount of it. And now they're trying to figure out what to do about it, and they're attending these meetings. And it has already gotten into our food chain and our water, and I am quite sure that this is a good part of why the fish are poisoned with the mercury. You know, they have all these warnings for fish. So how did that? It didn't get there just, you know, suddenly overnight. It got there because we're spreading it out into our food chain, and the plants, of course, that we eat are uptaking the heavy metal because they take it out of the soil along with the rest of the metals and minerals and nutrients, and then we eat them. And so we're going to have to address that. And actually, Dr. Haley has a line on a couple of people who are working on some cost-effective ways of removing these. And what we have to do is just get the people who are our politicians and so forth who are in charge of the authorities to get their head out of the sand and to do something about it. And one of the things is to get a dental revision with the latest, greatest protocols that we know are successful in place so that we can duplicate this across the nation. As long as we stand around and argue about whether a poison is a poison, nothing is going to happen, and people are going to continue to get ill and not know what's the matter, and they die these horrible, horrible deaths. Suicide, by the way, is one of the classified for 100 years for in the Mad Hatter's disease when they had those in the factories. These people would often they would just fling themselves out of a window for no particular reason. There was no event that caused it. They just, gee, I think I'm going to throw myself out the window.
As mad as a hatter. And nobody ever asked why the Hatter was mad.
That's right. We have a building in Seattle that decades and decades and decades, it's housed dentists. And this interesting little piece of trivia, it has these beautiful marble staircases if you want to walk up and down the 16 floors. And they're sort of circular. And I guess in the late 50s and the early 60s, these people in the dentist's office were flinging themselves down the staircase to commit suicide. So they put these cargo nets in about every third floor, and it was because of the amount of suicide that was occurring in the building.
Nobody ever asked why.
Well, I think that maybe when they put them there, they kind of knew why, but it just sort of got lost. It's just one of those little things that gets lost in our communication levels.
And at one time, 100 years ago, it was unethical for a dentist to put in mercury fillings because they knew how toxic mercury was 100 years ago.
That's right.
And then the ADA, the American Dental Association, was formed for the dentists who were willing to put in the mercury fillings because no mercury fillings 100 years ago. And there we are today where so many people are walking around with a mouth full of mercury fillings. And usually it's over 50% of mercury in the fillings, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 50 to 52% mercury. And that's mercury, like you'd see in a thermometer. I mean, it's not any special, any form of mercury is dangerous. The elemental mercury is very dangerous, but that's what they use. And they mix it right in the office, so it's sitting in the chair. It's sort of an amazing thing. OSHA has a standard, and they've got a machine that measures mercury. It's called a Jerome Mercury Analyzer. The trade name is a sniffer. And they take a 10-second sample of the air, and it will measure to a certain standard. And that standard, they would use this machine if they went into a warehouse, and if it exceeded that standard, which is 0.1 per meter of air, milligram per meter of air cubed, they would shut down the warehouse and fine them $10,000. Well, first of all, you can get a reading that exceeds that off of a human being's teeth or their filled teeth. And second of all, no one monitors dental offices because of the intense lobbying that goes on in our legislatures. We have not been able to succeed in getting any laws passed. As a matter of fact, we had a bill that was introduced a couple of years ago to our legislature in Washington, and all it said was you had to give the patient informed consent in a dental chair, and they required traps. Now, King County, which is the largest county in the state, already requires traps, but it was killed as a and they didn't let me play the smoking tooth, or not even show a picture of it, and they knew what it was. And the bill, there were people on the committee that were wonderful, but the bill got killed.
Well, you got to see the picture. Thanks so much, Christy. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.